نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. سواء
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
There's a place in the Quran where Allah says that He has made the earth a place of rest. He has made the earth livable. And when you see in reality how the earth was made livable, then you can go back to the creation of Allah and see how Allah has created this universe. So many creations, so many galaxies, so many planets, so many heavenly bodies, so many suns. And all after creating this elaborate creation, such a creation that the mind of man is boggled. I mean, it's mind-boggling to see the extent of creation. And after creating all that creation, after creating all these planets and universe and galaxies, then Allah brings the attention of all the creation to one planet. He brings the attention of all that creation to one planet and focuses all this huge creation to this one planet. He says, I'm choosing this planet for my khilafat. He calls out and says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاهِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. This whole universe he created, this elaborate arrangement he made, so that one planet Earth can be the scene of his goal. And Earth is not a big planet. In the universe, it's not even a speck. And he takes that Earth and he says that this is the place where I'm preparing it. And then you see how long it took. It is said that the process of the earth and the universe, it was like 4 billion years. It took 4 billion years for the earth to be prepared so that it can be livable. A man can live there. Such a long time. And such an elaborate and comprehensive arrangement, so that one earth can be capable. And then when he made this earth, then he says, now he has made different creations, living things. And so many living things. So many living things. There are different levels of creations that we witness ourselves. You look at the animal world, how many different types of animals? Innumerable. Can't even start counting them. Whether it's birds, whether it's fish, whether it's mammals, whether it's insects, reptiles. See the elaborate amount of creation He made. And then He made the angels and the jinn and so many things. And out of all these creations, He chose two creations for His worship. He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have created these jinn and this insan. The only reason I created them is for my ibadah, my worship. Of all these creations. And then, when it came to choosing who's going to carry out my goal, after making all these creations, Allah said that this insan is going to be my khalifa. They are going to carry out my goal and what I have destined for them. All of this was done so that insan can come here. My brothers, understand this. All these planets are there. And when you look at them, they are just lifeless planets. Just there. And those planets are there so that the inhabitants of Earth can see them and enjoy them. Look at them and be bedazzled by them. Enchanted by them. And maybe understand the comprehensiveness and the extent of who the Creator is. But they are just to look at. Because Allah's goal is happening on the earth. What Allah wants is happening on the earth. And these are there for show so that we can see them and understand Allah's creation. And then in all the animals and all the other life we see on the earth, Allah chose insan. So all these animals were made so that insan can look at these animals, use them, and maybe understand the creation of the one who created them. So all these planets were made for one earth. And all these different creations were made for one insan. You see, and then on the other hand, when you look at the idea of time, it took so many years for Allah to make the arrangement for the earth to become prepared. To prepare the earth. And it took so long for all these animals who lived here for millions of years. It took so long for Allah to get them prepared for insan to come here. So now from here we see the sunnah and the way of Allah. Allah's sunnah is that He makes elaborate arrangements so that His goal of that one thing happening can happen. All these planets were made so that the earth could exist. All these creations were made for that insan can exist. And from insan, all these human beings were made so that His worship can be established. His ibadah can be established. Allah, You made all these people. And the goal was Your service, Your worship. My friends, look at the genius of Allah's wisdom and creation. You know, it's like an artist trying to find genius in his work, looking for that one stroke of genius that he can be proud of. And Allah's every stroke is genius. But then Allah also is looking for that genius, not from his own strokes, but from his creation, making that ultimate artwork, that ultimate creation, that ultimate person that he can be proud of. So the worship of Allah began. Insan began worshipping Allah and giving his sacrifices to Allah. And a time came when a height was reached, and Ibrahim offered himself and says, I am willing to sacrifice. And he painted his picture with his son Ismail. And he painted that picture and said, Allah, this is my offering. And he gave that offering. And Allah liked it. Allah liked it. He said, Ibrahim, I like it. I like it. But something is missing. Something is missing. But I like it. And I want all of mankind to remember what this sacrifice you have done. I want them to remember. I will bring them to remember this. You made this offer and I liked it. But this is not the Dhibhe Adhim I'm looking for. No, that is coming. And then it carried on. And everyone gave their sacrifices. And Allah wanted to see that perfect sacrifice take place. That perfect obedience. That perfect sajda. So that he can look at it with pride and say, this is my creation offering itself to me. This is my creation that is offering itself to me. He says, look at this arrangement Allah made. And you see that you found that. And that perfect offering was found. Of all these people, you see, the whole ummah was made. This elaborate arrangement. Understand the sunnah of Allah. He makes elaborate arrangement so that one thing could happen. That ultimate goal can be reached. That masterpiece can be found. And this whole ummah was made so that 72 can be found. This whole ummah, this whole arrangement was made so that 72 can be found who would give themselves up for their creation. Allah is waiting. And Allah says, let it take time. I waited 4 billion years for this earth to happen. And we are living here for how long? 10,000 years. 10,000 years we are living here. And then when you look at it, these 10,000 years we're living here, it's not even a speck in the timeline. You look at the timeline speck. Allah, you waited 4 billion years to what? So that that obedience can be established. And now he's waiting 10,000 years for what? So that obedience can be established. And we are wondering that if Allah had wanted, my friends, if Allah had wanted, he could have just made the earth without the universe. Kuntiya, he could have made the earth without the universe. And he could have made one Hussein from all this universe. But you see, Allah, sunnat is that he gives, he creates. He creates in varieties, he creates in abundance, and gives everyone the chance to make their own destiny. And he made that to insan. And insan now is the master of that destiny. So you see, this is the arrangement how Allah makes it. And then when we see and understand the sunnah of Allah, then you see that sunnah applying in our lives also. And let me explain that in Sunnah Misra. My friends, we who are mu'mineen, and Allah has made arrangement for us to learn, understand, be trained in so many ways. And you see so many programs, so many majlis, so many lectures, so many du'as, so many prayers, so many amal. What is this all for? What is this all for? And you see, sometimes it seems that we are inundated with speeches, that we are drowned in all this hadith. You know, I mean, if you look at the Quran, 6,600 ayahs. If you look at hadith, thousands of hadith. I mean, if you start to read them and understand them, one lifetime is not enough. But all of this ocean is for what? Or ocean of knowledge is for what? We believers are drowned in it, we are inundated in it. What is it for, my friends? Every day and every year there's Muharram, every year there's Ramadan, every year there's lectures, and every year there's majalis, and every year there's program, and duas, and amas, and all of this is for what? So that, my friends, understand this, that one point where we have to make the right decision, but we are between, and we have that choice, and we are between two things, and the choice is in our hands of right and wrong. All of this is so that we can make the right decision at that time. All this learning is for what? All this training is for what? So that one time when we hear the call of Halmen Nasirin, we can say Labbaika Ya Hussein. Just for that one decision we have to make, that one choice we have to make between haq and batil, between right and wrong. And Allah makes this whole arrangement so that we can make that one decision when we are faced with it. And we face it every time, between haq and batil, haram and halal. And from there you can see that when you choose haram over halal, it means that you're not ready to say labbaik yet. When you choose wrong over right, it means you're not ready to say labbaik yet. And this whole training and this whole ocean of knowledge that comes from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is so that we can get ready to make that one decision in life when we are called to make that decision. Allah made this elaborate arrangement so that one decision can be made by you. He made this elaborate arrangement of humanity so that this decision can be made by you. And you see all of mankind living for so long. And you know what? Allah is saying, if it took me 4 billion years to create the earth and prepare it, then even if it takes thousands of years to prepare mankind for that one hukumat and that one rule that will be of justice, I will wait for that. All of this is for what? So that one hukumat can be established under Imam Mahdi. That one rule can be established, and Allah is waiting for that. And if you think that Allah is not waiting, you see how Allah waited. Billions of years He made the preparation for the earth to be established, and He is waiting thousands of years. And He's saying, let it be. But unless this happens, and until this happens, it is not going to stop. My friends, two things we understood. One, Allah's sunnah is that He makes this elaborate arrangement for that thing which He intended to happen. And the second thing we understood is that Allah gets His way. Allah will eventually get His way, and He is going to make sure that that one rule of justice and obedience is going to be established. So my friends, from here I want you to understand that this whole elaborate arrangement that Allah made for the earth, He made it so that the earth could be prepared for mankind. And He put mankind here, and all these people are here, so that mu'mineen can serve Allah. And all these mu'mineen that who are here, who are serving Allah, Allah is saying, who's going to paint their service and their ibadah in such a way that it becomes a masterpiece for His obedience? Brothers, this is the search for perfection that Allah is looking for. The search for perfection that Allah is looking for. That's why you see Allah let thousands of people come in the army of Yazid. You know, all these people come. and keep a sunnah in mind. All these thousands came. In some places it says 30,000, some places 40,000, it goes up to 100,000. Thousands of people came, my friends, so that one free man, one hur can be found. My friends, really, in this creation of Allah, sometimes you see there's a creation that, in all this creation is unique. You know, and you'll see that amongst all the buildings you see, that one Kaaba is unique. Something special. You know, many buildings have been made. But when you look at that one Kaaba, you see it has its own picture. It has its own sway. It has its own greatness, uniqueness. And Allah, He does that. Sometimes, you know, a creation is made. Allah makes a creation that's so unique that it stands out from everything else and becomes something special. Right? Becomes something special. And in this all this creation, you see, that He has made of rocks and, you know, plants and animals and all these things and human beings, you see, the creation of Hur is that kind of a special creation. A unique creation. Something that is unique, something that is out of the normal, out of the ordinary. And now you see how Hur was made into Hur. This Hur, the story of Hur is about choice. That one choice that needed to be made. And the two sides are not something like, for example, Fir'aun and Musa. Because Fir'aun and Musa, it would be too heavenly, too Quranic. Hur was caught between the epic battle between good and evil. He was caught between haq and batil. He was caught between dunya and akhirat. But Hur was not in between. See how many turns the story takes. Hur was not in between. He was on the side of dunya. He was on the side of batil. And in being in that side of batil, when we look at Hur and he's on the side of batil, when we look at that, you see, from there he is looking at it and he is at a crossroads of making a decision. On one hand, he sees he has dunya, wealth, fame, respect, the general of Yazid's army. What more can you want from the dunya? Dunya has nothing more to offer you. Whatever it has to offer, it offered Hur and Hur had it. And now Hur had to make a decision. Dunya, he already has. Akhirat, it's on the other side. And you see, it's a decision that we all face in life. We all face in life this decision. And how this man who was in Yazid's army and being his general now takes that step. Because until then, you see how he is trying to protect. At the same time, trying to protect his religion and be in the army of Yazid and hold on to his dunya. And he's making up excuses as we go along. Well, there's no war, Husan's not being killed, there's no war, nothing's happening, no battle taking place. And he's staying there. And trying to convince the Batil that, listen, you know, let's not go to war, let's not go to battle, just think with calmer heads. You know, let's not do this. He's thinking. And he's trying to make excuses to stay there. And then when the morning of Ashura came, he went to Umar ibn Sa'd and said, Ibn Sa'd, are you going to fight this battle? Then you know, Ibn Sa'd said, by Allah, we are going to fight until all of them are killed. Now came the time for Hur's decision. No more excuses. He was protecting his deen while keeping his dunya. But now the choice was in front of him. Now he cannot play any more games with his religion. Now he had to make that decision. And you know what? As true to his name, Hur made that decision and said, well, if this is the case, the dunya I already possess, I will sacrifice for the haq which is leading to death. And I go that way. My friends, this is something of an epic story of Hur. Of how Hur, in one afternoon, went from batil to haq, from shaitan to Allah, from Yazid to Hussein. It is a story of choice that we all our lives are learning in these majalis to make. To make that one choice when it comes between dunya and akhirat. And now Hur came towards Hussein. Jesus used to cure the blind, raise the dead, and give them life. But now you see the masterwork of Hussein, who has made a martyr out of a murderer. Understand how he made it. Hur is the creation of Hussein's masterwork. How Hur came from that side to this side. My friends, when Hur came, now he has rejected the dunya, rejected shaitan, rejected batil, but he still has to accept the haq. There he was a general. Here he's coming to be a slave. There he was a general. And people think that this is free man. But when Hur made that decision, my friends, when Hur made that decision to go to Hussein, now the thousands of people who were with Yazid were like faces with no meaning. He looked at the thousands, it was meaningless for him. So many people are with Yazid, but he looked at them and they were meaningless. Look at these people, they meant nothing. Now all Hur could see was the haq. And when he saw the haq, now you see that when someone is a general on the side of Yazid, on the side of batil, how he comes and accepts the haq. But Hur decided that. He went and his slave came with him. His son came with him. And Hur got on the horse. And as he rode to Imam Hussein, his heart started to race. His pulse became higher. He was becoming nervous. Hur was not a weak man. He was a brave man. But only a brave man knows the greatness of Allah. Only a brave man knows how to be humble before the haq. And that's why you see Hur could not take this. He said, I am ashamed of Hussein. I am ashamed of Hussein. He put a blindfold on himself so he could not see. He said, son, what do you hear from the tents of Hussein? His son said, I hear the sounds of Alatash, Alatash from the children of Hussein. When Hur heard, he began to cry and blamed himself for this atrocity that is happening
to the embodiment of Haq and Hussein and the children of Hussein, blaming himself for that predicament. Now Hur comes towards Hussein and he takes his shoes off. And you know, in those days, when you want to admit that you are wrong and you want to come humbly before someone, you take your shoes and you tie them around your neck. Hur tied his shoes around his neck and bowed down before Hussein's camp as he approached them. When Hussein sent the Baz to welcome Hur, and Hur saw that Hussein is sending a Baz to come out there and welcome him, Hur fell off his horse. From the horse, he says, "No, if I want to go to the Haq, then I cannot be riding before him. I must go there humbly and with humility." And he went on his feet, and when he saw that Hussein is coming, then when Hussein came out to meet him, Hur fell on his knees and said, "Mawla, I am the one coming towards Haq." But he doesn't know that a generous leader, and the leader that Hussein is, won't let him suffer the pain of coming towards him that much. He will come towards you if you start coming towards him. He says, "Didn't you hear that those who take a step towards Allah, then Allah will take 10 steps towards them? Well, Hur, you have taken one step towards me. Now you see, Mazhar-e-Haq is going to take 10 steps towards you." When Hur came before Hussein, he said, "Master, forgive me. I have done this to you." Hussein said, "I have forgiven you and Allah has forgiven you." Now when Hur, when he looked around at this stage, when he accepted Haq and he bowed before Haq and he had accepted the appearance of Haq, now you see the creation of Hur was complete. Now the creation was Hur, of Hur was complete. That Hur who was a general on the side of Yazid and has now became a slave on the side of Hussein has shown us that freedom is not in being and not in possessing dunya, but in becoming the slave of Haq. Freedom comes by becoming the slave of Haq. You want to be a free man, then be a slave of Allah. Then you'll see that you are a free man. My friends, when Hur accepted that, now the next words of Hussein melted Hur and the heart of Hur. If there was any doubt that was left in Hur, it was erased. When Hussein said, "Hur, when you came to me as an enemy, I offered you water, I gave you water. Now you came to me as a guest, I cannot even offer you water." My friends, Hur said, "Mawla, I cannot bear to witness this any much longer. The only way for me to repent is to defend you and be the first one to give my life for the way of truth." Hussein, "From until today, my sword was raised for Batil. One time, let me raise it for Haq. Let me raise it for Haq and let me see how it feels. Let me see, let me get the pleasure of doing jihad for Hussein. Until now I have fought for Yazid and I have been brave, but let me one time feel the pleasure of fighting for you and let me feel how it feels to fight for someone like you." Hussein said, "Hur, you are free to go. Go, Hur." And Hur came forward. My friend, the same Batil that he has rejected, Hur came in front of that Batil and face to face with them. Now Hur looks at those people that he used to be in charge of and he looks at them and realizes that they were living beings, but they have no meaning in their life. He understood that in his stage of standing alone between them for the first time, my friends, Hur is living, and Hur has known what life is when he stood in front of that army and said, now I know what a living being is. Now I know what life is. Now Hur, when he challenges them, he says, I'm giving you the chance to accept life like I have accepted, or face death in your ignorance. When they did, then Hur went to battle, and he went to battle, and I'm sure that Hur has never went to a battle like this. He knew that he is going to be killed, but there was a smile on his face, there was a pleasure in his heart, and now Hur making that strike to the army. I can understand the feeling of Hur. Hur, now you know what a free man is. Now you know who is living. Now you are fighting for the hawk, and you know this. But now, when that time came and someone hit him, and Hur took injuries, and when he fell to the ground, he gave his salam to Hussein, and before he knew, Hussein was by his side. Hussein was by his side. But he looked at Hussein, Mawla, I didn't want to give you the blood. Why did you bother coming here? I didn't want to inconvenience you. But Hur, don't you realize Hussein is the mazhar and the manifestation of truth, manifestation of Allah's qualities. Don't you know if you go to Allah, Allah will come to you more than you go to Him. You have gone to Hussein. Now you see how Hussein is coming to you. Now you see how the leader of Haq comes to you. Hussein came and put Hur on his lap. Hur looked up at Hussein, and Hussein at that moment declared to the world, Hur, he says, your mother has been right when she named you Anta Hurrun fi dunya wal akhirah. You are Hur, and you are a free man in this dunya and in the akhirah. Hur, you are a free man in this dunya and akhirat. Hussein, he took out his handkerchief and tied it around the head of Hussein, a head of Hur, whose head was injured. And at that point, when Hur left, he took the handkerchief of Hussein. Hur, you left the dunya and everything it gave for the handkerchief of Hussein. Tell me, was it worth it? And Hur will say, this is how I'm thinking before Allah. And I will show him, Allah, this is my gift to you.
يا الله الذي لا يهوى هيا من قلب